We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We've been talking a lot about the NFL today and some of the issues surrounding it, especially regarding the Clay Matthews hit and what is or is not an allowable tackle. A league that posed a challenge to the NFL years ago ended up winning in court, but not winning overall. The USFL, it's a book written by Jeff Perlman called Football for a Buck, and he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Jeff, this book that you wrote on the USFL, there was just a documentary and some renewed interest in the XFL, and you know, we always like to look at the past and see what happened and try to avoid that, but did you expect the USFL to be in demand when you wrote about it? Did you expect a large audience for this? Because I know this has always been sort of a passion project for you.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I mean, I was told repeatedly, nobody wants a USFL book. Don't write a USFL book. But it's been 9 years of me trying to get a book deal for the USFL and pushing and pushing and pushing. And I just, you know, my last book was about Brett Favre, actually. And, it was called Gunslinger, and when I got that deal, I took less money from my publisher. I said, just let me write a USFL book. Please let me write a USFL book. I didn't care. You know, I wanted to sell, obviously, but it was such a passion for me that I just really wanted to write it.
Yeah, the USFL, I was high school and then in college when it was just getting off the ground, and, man, I liked it. It was a summer league, and I thought it had some potentials. They were giving out some big contracts. Number one, where did the USFL go wrong, and what led to its downfall? Because, boy, I remember that first game they had in Washington where they had like 40,000 fans for a game against Chicago, and it was on TV, and it looked like this league was on its way.
Yeah, so it was a really good idea. It was basically spring football. You know, we're not going head-to-head with the NFL. We're going to be just a league on its own, and maybe eventually we can challenge the NFL for something. Each team was going to be able to get two marquee players and then generally going to keep payrolls low. The idea I really liked from the USFL is they had a regional draft. So they had a general draft, but then every team would be allocated four schools they could just, you know, draft off of. So it would be like the Philadelphia Stars would be drafting out of Penn State and Pitt. So you have this regional sort of loyalty because a lot of the fans have grown up watching the players. And I just think it was a really good idea. The first season was really good. It was 12 teams. It was very exciting. The championship game featured Bobby Hebert and Anthony Carter of the Michigan Panthers, you know, beating Sam Mills and Kelvin Bryant of the Philadelphia Stars. It was exciting stuff. And this is not in any way, shape, or form a political statement. It's just the nature of what happened back then. In 1984, at the end of the first season, Donald Trump bought a team, the New Jersey Generals. And he really wanted to get in the NFL. He had failed in an effort to buy the Baltimore Colts. So this was really what he saw as a ticket to the NFL. And shortly after in the lead up to buying the Generals, he talked about how great spring football was and how much he loved spring football. And as soon as he got the team, he started talking about how bad spring football was and what a horrible idea it was. And shortly after that, he arranged for a meeting with Pete Rozelle, the commissioner of the NFL. But, you know, he paid for a suite at the Pierre Hotel in New York. And he said to Rozelle, I don't really care about the USFL. I want an NFL team. What do I need to do to get an NFL team? And he really thought he could use the USFL as leverage. And what Pete Rozelle said to him was, as long as I'm the commissioner of the NFL, you're going to have nothing to do with this league. We don't want you in this league. And he was undeterred. And he really led this charge towards Faw and taking on the NFL directly. And ultimately what that led to was a very unsuccessful lawsuit against the NFL. The USFL ran out of money and died.
You've been writing this book, Jeff. Jeff Perlman, author of Football for a Buck. You're writing this book at the same time that the villain of the USFL, Donald Trump, is running for president. I just saw last night people tweeting at you, oh, great, another hit piece on Trump. How are you dealing with that, where it's like you're trying to tell a story, in the story, the USFL ceases to exist because of Donald Trump. And it's like you can't even say the facts about that without people getting mad now.
It's a little frustrating. I mean, there are bigger problems in the world, but it's a little frustrating because you're just telling a story of what happened, and it's just a truthful story. Again, I pitched this book so far before the idea of Donald Trump even running for president was an idea. So it's not like I did this to write Donald Trump book, but facts are facts. I mean, it was a really funny, it was really weird, actually. It was very weird working on this book while he was running. There's a, he signed Doug Flutie. Doug Flutie was a third straight Heisman Trophy winner of the USFL after Herschel Walker and Mike Rozier. And he signed Doug Flutie to this, to the biggest contract in pro football history at the time, out of Boston College. And when he signed him, he said to the other, his partners at the Generals, don't worry, we're going to sign him, but the other teams are going to pay his contract. And he actually wrote a letter that I have to the commissioner of the USFL and the other owners saying, I've done the USFL a tremendous favor. I've signed Doug Flutie, and this is for the benefit of the league. And now the rest of you should really contribute to his contract. I think it's very appropriate that the rest of the owners. And I'm literally researching this at the same time news is being reported of him saying, Mexico, we're going to build a wall, and Mexico is going to pay for it. And it's just really trippy. There's a lot of, as far as devices used and techniques, there are always a lot of passes, prologues sort of with Trump and how he sort of ran his USFL team and the approach he took to running for the presidency.
I think the most bizarre contract that was offered, at least from what I remembered, Steve Young was given like a $40 million contract. Now we're talking the 80s. A 43-year contract, a 43-year contract worth $40 million. But it was a four-year deal, but they were going to pay him that $40 million over 43 years. Did he ever see any of that?
He saw about $8 million. It was 42, and he got about $8 million. And it was really funny because the USFL was looking for headlines, and they were looking to generate news any way possible. And the owner of the team was this absolutely crazy man named Bill Odenberg. And he put out there, we have just signed Steve Young to a $42 million contract. And, of course, the reaction was, $42 million. How, you know, the world is coming to an end now, blah, blah, blah. It was an annuity. It actually was an annuity. Walter Payton had signed a very similar contract for actually more money with the Chicago Bears, but nobody called it a, whatever, $42 million contract because it was understood it was going to be paid over years in increments. Mm-hmm. So Steve Young signs his deal. I mean, there's a really funny scene. The LA Express go to play Washington, and his parents are in the stands. And the fans are just taunting Steve Young, $42 million. And his mom, this nice little Mormon woman, you know, who doesn't curse or anything, just stands up and goes, it's an annuity. It's an annuity. And they're like, F you, F you. And Steve said that was the last game his mother ever went to.
Yeah, they don't like to swear, from what I know, in that religion. That's funny. Jeff Perlman joining us, Football for a Buck. Let's say the Trump stuff doesn't happen. Let's say the USFL doesn't look to move to the fall. Any chance that they're still around today as a spring football league, or is the NFL so big that ultimately any challenger is going to come and go?
You know, I asked Steve Young that question, and he's pretty adamant that there would still be a spring football league, but the USFL would still use. I think more likely, you know, the lawsuit happened in 1986, so the last season was 85. 1987, the NFL had a huge player strike where they used all the replacement players. A lot of the owners really look back and see that as if they'd only held out, if they'd only waited, if they'd only stayed in spring, you could have had this massive influx of really talented players. And that would have led to this sort of football anarchy where you would have had just people signing here and people signing there and the NFL getting really nervous. I think ultimately what would have happened is you would have had four or five. And they had a team in Jacksonville before the Jaguars. They had a team in Tennessee before the Titans. They had a team in Oakland when the Raiders were gone. They had a team in Baltimore after the Colts. I just think a lot of these franchises probably would have been merged in the way the AFL would merge into the NFL.
Was there plans for expansion ever? I mean, in the early stages? And I was, because I thought maybe Milwaukee had a shot at getting a USFL team.
Yeah, so actually, after this is one of their huge mistakes. After the 83 season, they jumped from 12 to 18 teams after one season, because they wanted the influx of cash, and it was a $6 million expansion fee. And Milwaukee, Herb Cole almost bought a team from Milwaukee. He backed out at the last minute. So they came very close to having a Milwaukee team, and they expanded into some good markets like Jacksonville. and expanded to some really bad markets, like San Antonio and Tulsa. In fact, Tulsa was funny because they expanded there. It was, the team's name was the Oklahoma Outlaws. And when they agreed to expand there, they were told that the University of Tulsa had drawn 30,000 fans per game to the college football games in 1983. And it turns out the University of Tulsa just made that up. It had actually drawn about 15,000. So they're moving into a market that they thought would be booming, and it turned out to be a complete disaster.
Stories like that and more in the book, Football for a Buck, the story of the USFL, Jeff Perlman, the author. Jeff, always good to have you on the show. Appreciate it. Good luck with the book, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thank you so much. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.